Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic's diplomatic mission in Ramallah has heightened security measures. The Interior Minister František Bublan is planning to meet representatives of six Muslim organizations in the Czech Republic, and President Václav Klaus has said he's not satisfied with the final version of the bill on registered partnerships. The Czech Republic's diplomatic mission in Ramallah in the West Bank has heightened security measures in connection with ongoing attacks on European embassies in various Arab countries, a spokesman for the Czech Foreign Ministry has said. Western governments are stepping up security measures at their embassies in Arab countries as demonstrations continue against cartoons satirizing the Prophet Muhammad published in a newspaper in Denmark and elsewhere in Europe. The Interior Minister František Bublan is planning to meet representatives of six Muslim organizations in the Czech Republic next Monday, the ministry spokeswoman said. They are to discuss the attacks on Danish and Norwegian embassies in the Middle East provoked by the printing of cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad in Danish and other European papers. Czech Muslim organizations said in a joint statement on Monday that the publication of the cartoons was a sign of hatred and Islamophobia. They called on personalities from the political, religious and cultural spheres to stand up against its signs and support understanding and dialogue. President Václav Klaus said on Monday that the legal and constitutional complaints filed by Eva Brožová, who was dismissed as the chairwoman of the Supreme Court last week, only strengthened the prevailing opinion about her performance in the post. Mr. Klaus said he was not going to change his decision about her dismissal. Mr. Klaus dismissed Ms. Brožová at the request of Justice Minister Pavel Němec, who had repeatedly complained about the state of the Supreme Court. President Václav Klaus also told reporters on Monday that he was not satisfied with the final version of the bill on registered partnerships of same-sex couples passed by both houses of the Czech Parliament. The president has until next Thursday to either sign or veto the bill. In case he does not do either, the bill will become law anyway. The culture minister, Vítězslav Jandák, has decided to dismiss his advisory council for state monument preservation. A spokeswoman said the reason for the dismissal was a finding that the council's activities led to non-transparent distribution of state money for the renovation of monuments. And finally, a glance at the weather. The next couple of days should be overcast with snow or sleet in most parts of the country. Daytime temperatures should range from +1 to +4 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková. That's the news.
Listening to the English Language Service of Radio Prague, Amdi Tasiedu, and today, Czech reactions to the controversial Danish cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. Central Europe's call for the EU's labour market to be opened, is it realistic? A sports roundup, and we hear from Petr Hrubec, Secretary General of the Czech Olympic Committee. This and more up next. Now, the publication of caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad in a Danish newspaper has led to violent reactions in many parts of the Muslim world and heated debate in Europe about the balance between freedom of expression and respect for different beliefs. The Czech Republic has also found itself indirectly in the firing line. David Vaughan joins me in the studio.
Yes, Dita, the Czech ambassador to Pakistan was among nine European ambassadors summoned by the country's foreign minister, and this was because most Czech newspapers had published at least small reproductions of one of the caricatures. This was just to illustrate articles on the subject. Pakistan pointed concretely to the example of the paper Mladá fronta Dnes. The ambassador, Alexander Langer, defended himself with the argument that we've often heard in Europe over the last few days, saying that we can't apologize for freedom of the press. And he also pointed to the sensitivity of this issue here in the Czech Republic, because this country did suffer 50 years of press censorship.
And are there any other specifically Czech angles on the debate?
Well, there are some quite interesting aspects. For example, the Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek, by coincidence, recently came in for a stream of criticism back home when he refused to distance himself from some really fairly crude jokes directed against the Czech Republic's Romani minority. There have been parallels drawn, and the question has been asked, why should it be taboo to publish stereotype caricatures of Romanis or Jewish people, but not Muslims? So this is one argument that has been heard against the publication of such provocative material. On the other hand, here in the Czech Republic, there is quite a lot of strong sentiment against the idea of allowing the principles of free speech to be compromised by extremists. Interestingly, given Czech history, the word appeasement has been used quite a lot by several commentators.
And what about the Czech Muslim community?
Well, the community is very small. It does amount just to a few thousand, and a very small minority of those are Czech converts. Generally speaking, they have, of course, as we would expect, condemned the caricatures, but maybe not with the vehemence that has been seen elsewhere. We did speak earlier to Lukáš Hotan from the Czech Islamic internet news site Islamské noviny.
Abych řekl pravdu, jako sice to člověka urazí a trošku ho to rozlobí, ale vzhledem k tomu, že...
To be quite honest, although I was offended and annoyed, in Europe caricatures, even of religious symbols, have a rich tradition. It's quite legal, and it's normal. You also see caricatures of Jesus.
Protože to vidím v jednom kuse, někde se karikaturuje Ježíš a podobně.
Yeah, that was Lukáš Hotan from the Czech Islamic internet news site Islamské noviny. He spoke of Jesus. I gather that the Catholic Church has expressed its view?
That's right. The Czech Catholic primate, Cardinal Vuk, said quite unequivocally, in fact, that he felt the Danish caricatures went way beyond the accepted limits of freedom of expression. And this is what he told Radio Prague.
V našem kulturním prostoru se stalo běžné,
in our part of the world, it's become acceptable to defame the beliefs of others, even using lies. That's not just towards Islam, but also Christianity. We've accepted this full sense of freedom, but Muslims haven't been corrupted in the same way and are willing to defend values they consider sacred.
So those were quite strong views there from Cardinal Vuk. But I should point out maybe that the Catholic Church in the Czech Republic is nothing like as strong as in some neighbouring countries, so I wouldn't like to speculate to what extent that view is shared either by believers or non-believers here in the Czech Republic.
David Vaughan, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Over the weekend, leading representatives of the governments of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary met in Prague to discuss common concerns regarding the European Union and to sign a declaration on the opening of labour markets. With the second anniversary of EU entry coming up in May, leaders of the four countries, known as the Visegrad Four, want the original restrictions on labour movement lifted, or at least eased. Linda Mastalit was there for the summit and gives us a summary of what happened.
With the European Commission about to launch its Year of Mobility, leaders of the Visegrad Four countries meeting for a summit in Prague over the weekend signed an appeal to older EU member states to lift restrictions on their labour markets. At this stage, only Ireland, Sweden and the United Kingdom have opened their labour markets to nationals from Visegrad Four countries. Visegrad Four leaders are basing their declaration on the belief that only open, mobile markets prosper, and countries like France and Germany should not fear workers from the EU's eastern regions. Ryszard Legutko, Vice President of the Polish Senate, also stressed the important role of national parliaments within EU structures.
The growing role of national parliaments may be a way to make this democratic deficit less painful. Whether the growing role of national parliaments will indeed be a remedy to a democratic deficit in the EU, I do not know, and I would not really risk any definite thesis on that point.
It's clear that the EU's direction is an open question after the rejection of the EU constitution, and regional structures like the Visegrad Four could find more room for expressing their own interests.
Thanks, Linda, for that. And to conclude the Visegrad Four Prague summit, leaders signed a declaration appealing to the governments of EU member states who have not already done so to open their labour markets to workers as of May 1st this year. And we asked a few people in the streets of Prague how they felt about the restrictions still applying to labour movement.
I think that it's not good to make some differences between the new members of European Union and the rest of the Europe.
It's a problem, I think. It's not. There are a lot of regulations for it, and we must wait for 1, 2, 3 years. And I think it will be better.
This is not a just policy of the old EU countries towards new EU members. In my opinion, this restriction should be cancelled or terminated as soon as possible.
A few opinions from the streets of Prague there. Now, earlier I spoke to Petr Havlík from the Vienna Institute for International Economics to see whether the opening of labour markets is a realistic request and what countries will most likely do so.
I think that there could be some more countries which at least would substantially liberalise their labour market access. It could be Finland, for instance, it could be Spain, it could be Portugal, it could be perhaps Italy and France, at least in some professions. Countries which will very likely insist on prolongation of these restrictive policies are, unfortunately, Germany and Austria, potentially the most important markets for Czech workers.
Now, one of the main arguments for keeping the labour market closed is the influx of cheap labour. Do you think that that's a substantial argument?
Well, from the economic point of view, basically economists have argued that these labour market restrictions are not necessary and in several respects even damaging. And, the experience of the 1.5 years membership in the European Union and the easing of this labour market, let's say in the United Kingdom or Sweden, clearly shows that, first of all, there has not been a substantial inflow of workers from the new member states. And in cases where these people have come, they have rather filled the jobs which, for instance, in the UK would be hardly filled with the local residents. Okay, so this is one argument. The other argument is that this labour market liberalisation is one of the essential freedoms in the European single market, apart from the free movement of goods, services and capital.
So if there really is nothing to worry about, what do you think is the real reason why Austria and Germany are keeping their labour markets closed?
Well, I think that the most significant reason is political. You know, that trade unions and the population in general in these two countries has fears that indeed there could be potentially, let's say, inflows of cheap workers, there could be more competition on the labour market, there would be downward pressure on wages. Here I'm fairly sceptical because really I know the situation in Austria pretty well, and I know that especially trade unions are very strongly for a prolongation of these restrictions.
And I was speaking there to Petr Havlík from the Vienna Institute for International Economics. In case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Radio Prague's English language service. And it's time now for Sports Roundup with Ian Willoughby.
Thanks, Dieter. Czech sports fans are currently counting down the days till the Winter Olympics, which get underway in Turin on Friday. The surprise of the last Winter Games in 2002 was Aleš Valenta. Previously little known, he shot to fame and fortune after taking gold in freestyle aerial skiing. Since then, Valencia has failed to build on that success, and on Sunday he finished a poor 16th in a World Cup event in the Czech resort of Spindlerov Mlín. He was carrying a knee injury, but says he still could have done better.
Byl to hodně limitující, no, ale jako já si myslím, že se není na to potřeba nějak extrémně odvolávat, protože prostě jsem se rozhodl.
The injury limited me a lot, but at the same time, I wouldn't make too much out of it. I decided to jump and I could have done better. I'm really disappointed in my performance. It's more a question of mental approach than technique. I think I may have been trying too hard to protect my knee. I should have gone for it 100%, regardless of the consequences.
Aleš Valenta, one of only two Czech medalists at the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics in 2002. The other was cross-country skier Kateřina Neumanová, who took bronze in the 15-kilometre free. She's in great form this season and will be hoping to do better in Turin. Another medal hopeful, speed skater Martina Slabíková, will carry the Czech flag at Friday's opening ceremony. At 18, she'll be the youngest Czech ever to bear the country's flag at an Olympics. As for the Czech ice hockey team, Petr Prucha, one of a number of Czechs at New York Rangers, looks like missing the Turin Games after sustaining an injury in a match on Saturday. That could make room for star winger Patrik Eliáš, who's made a very impressive return from injury since the Czech squad was announced. The Czech Republic's biggest star, Jaromír Jágr, celebrates his 34th birthday on February 15th. That's the day the Czechs play their first game in Turin against Germany. Jágr continues to lead the NHL's points table. He's now notched up 80 points, including 35 goals. The last time he achieved 80 points in a season was 5 years ago, when he was still at the Pittsburgh Penguins. And finally, in the Czech Extraliga, Slavia Prague are still ahead of Liberec at the top of the table, despite losing 1-0 to the White Tigers on Sunday. But the gap between the two clubs couldn't be narrower. Both are on 97 points, but Slavia's goal difference is 3 better than Liberec's. And that's all the sport for today.
Well, it's actually not quite all the sport, and Ian Willoughby also stays with us for one-on-one. And his guest today is Secretary General of the Czech Olympic Committee, Petr Hrubec.
This coming Friday, February 10th, sees the start of the 2006 Winter Olympics in Turin. The Czech Republic is sending a record 82 competitors to the Games, which are sure to capture the public imagination here, especially if the Czech ice hockey team do well. To discuss Czech chances in Turin, I visited the headquarters of the Czech Olympic Committee to meet the organization's General Secretary, Petr Hrubec. Mr. Hrubec first told me about Prague's unique place in the history of the Winter Olympics.
In 1925, in May, there was an international congress, Olympic Congress in Prague. And during this meeting, on the agenda was also the question if there should be some Winter Olympic Games. And during the meeting, the International Olympic Committee said yes, and the Winter Olympic Games started in Chamonix. It wasn't said it's Olympic Games in 1924. But on this Congress it was said, yes, there should be first Winter Olympic Games in Chamonix, and Prague was the cradle of Winter Olympic Games then.
I imagine in those days there were far fewer sports than today.
Yes, that's true. You know, the program of the Games were, I think, 15 events, sport events. There were something like military skiing or something like that. It wasn't not really the events what we are witnessing now. So it was much more or less than today.
Some of our listeners live in countries where the Winter Olympics aren't so much the focus of attention. They don't get as much coverage as the Summer Olympics. For Czechs, would you say they're equally important, or are the Summer Olympics a bigger thing for Czechs?
I think still Summer Olympics are a bigger event also for Czechs. But we have big tradition in winter sports because of our climate, because of our weather. For instance, ice hockey is played in nature on the ponds and rivers because the water get frozen and boys and also their parents can go and play hockey. And this is big tradition. And also, I think we have more than 1 million, 1 million skiers. And I think it's a big amount for a country where 10 million people are inhabitants here.
Actually, about skiing, is it the case that the Czechs are better at cross-country skiing in terms of winning competitions? And if so, why is that?
They are better. The reason is we don't have big mountains. We call them giant mountains in Czech. It's Krkonoše, but it's the highest peak is 1,600 meters. If you would like to train and do some good downhill skiing, you can't go probably here. You have to go to Alps. So that's why I think it's cross-country skiing much more popular here.
Also, I've heard that this Olympic Games will be the first time that the Czech team won't be staying in the same country where the Games are being held. They're going to stay in a hotel in France, not in in Italy, near Turin.
Yes, that's true. It's probably for the first time. We picked up the Hotel Vauban in Briançon. It's about 20 or 30 kilometers from Italy, Italian border, France-Italian border. So our main point and meeting point and celebration, hopefully, point will be in France.
Why didn't you choose somewhere closer to the actual venue?
Yes, we were trying, of course, probably it wasn't our first idea to find something in France. But we were trying to find a hotel with meeting rooms and with other facilities that will host also our Czech television. There will be some news rooms and all this accommodation. And also it should be accommodation for our guests. So we were really trying hard, but we couldn't find a suitable hotel. So then the choice came to France.
The Czech team for this Olympics is the biggest ever. 82 competitors are going from this country. How many medals can you imagine the Czech team bringing back, and how many would you regard as a success for this country?
You know, some realistic people are talking about 3 medals, some optimistic about 5 or maybe 6. I think 4 will be very nice, and I think it will be success. Hopefully, we are not anymore a planning economy as we were before 1989, because everything should be planned. Also, medals should be planned, and if the plan was not fulfilled, you were bad, and there were some problems with it. So we are looking forward to every success, and of course, we will be glad if medals will be on our necks.
Who would you say are the Czech competitors to watch out for in Turin for our listeners?
I think number one is Kateřina Neumannová. I think she will be medalist. I don't know if she will be gold, but we hope that she can make it. Jakub Janda, our ski jumper, I think he's also in very good shape. And our new stars like Martina Sablíková in speed skating, or Aleš Valenta again, or of course we are all looking forward to our ice hockey team, and we hope that they will make some good effort to get some medal.
I imagine ice hockey will be the most watched sport. People will be hoping for a repeat of Nagano in 1998. How important is it for the Olympics in general, or rather for interest in the Olympics, that the hockey team stays in Turin as long as possible and wins?
I think it's success for all teams, and when we get the best players to Olympics after there were no restrictions about starting of professionals and players from NHL. It's, I think, the biggest tournament ever. So it's important for all of them, and it's important for us, because when they are always the best, you can say this was important and this was a real competition. So I think it's importance number one.
This may seem like a strange question, but I was reading recently that Czechs say that the thing they're most proud of about their country is sports success. Is that something that you at the Czech Olympic Committee and the competitors themselves are conscious of? Do you think about it?
Yes, of course. When you remember what happened when our golden boys from Nagano came, and there were really thousands of people in the streets, and you know, sometimes we think that at least our people and our nation is proud of something, because you know, the political life and our politicians and all these scandals and whatever what we are witnessing every day, it's not really what we are proud of. So of course we feel it, we like it. But sometimes will be maybe better that we are not proud only of our athletes and also of something else, like not only politicians, but also from our people who make something good for others.
Petr Hrubec, thank you very much, and good luck in Turin.
Thank you also. Bye-bye.
And that's it from us for now. I'm Dita Asiru. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.